The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, and please be seated. Hey, I know every family has a planner that takes care of the plans when you go on vacation or when you go on a long trip. Don't you have? I'm not going to ask who it is, but I know in my family it's not me. Okay, people, the families have the one that says, "Okay, let's do a vacation, let's go across country," and then the person who's the planner initially takes out the list and starts to say, "Okay, we're going to need this, and we're going to need a basket of this, we're going to need water, we're going to need this, 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 and that." The other guy or the other woman, the other partner usually says, "Whatever, you know, I just want to go out and I want to have fun." So there was this one time Maria and I decided to go to Utah. And so we went to one of the, there's a lot of towns in between there, and we had lunch and we rested for a little while, and then we got in the car. I just wanted to get back on the drive. It's a beautiful drive, by the way, going out to Utah, if you haven't ever done that. And so I get in the car, and then Maria says, did you get gas? And I said, "Sure, yeah." And I started going off. And then just, you know, because I figured I have half a tank at least. And then when I was leaving town, it says the next service 294 miles. And so I said to myself, I started thinking to myself, how many gallons do I get for my in my car? I'm not sure how many miles of this. And I started to think about it. I tried to calculate it and fit it in. And meanwhile, she's talking, I'm completely in my own world trying to figure out, do I have enough gas? And then about 10 minutes into the ride, I said to myself, I'm not going to make it. And so embarrassed and humbled, I had to turn to her and say, "You were right." "You were right, I should have gotten gas." And so I said, "Well, I have to turn around now. I have to go back and get embarrassed and go through the whole thing again and get gas, because I don't think we would have made it." So I use this little story as kind of an introduction to what Jesus is going through right now. He is, in chapter 9, verse 51 in the book of Luke, Jesus is speaking, and he says he turned his face to go to Jerusalem. He's now going to Jerusalem to finish the work that he has started. He is going there to confront the power system, to confront the religious, to be able to put his truth on the line and be killed for it. And so Jesus is dead set on going up to Jerusalem. But the stories that come during the time of his travel are really interesting. And today's story is one of those stories that is caught up in the process of going to Jerusalem. And so Jesus at this point is getting closer to Jerusalem. And he's looking around at the people, you know, and he's thinking, you know, they pretty much like to hang around. They're waiting for some kind of miracle, maybe a lunch, you know, because he fed some people a few times on the road. And so they're thinking, he's thinking to himself, do these people really get what I'm trying to do? Do these people really understand what it is that I'm going to do or why I'm doing it? And so he puts out this very dramatic and very, very unnerving kind of statement, saying, if you don't hate your mother, if you don't hate your father, if you don't hate your brother, if you don't hate your sister, you cannot be my disciple. And he says, unless you bear your cross, you will not be my disciple. When I used to read this as a kid, I used to get nervous. I said, man, this is really hard to do. What is it that he wants? Well, the first thing he does, he wants you to make sure that you know what you're doing. And so he's going to Jerusalem, and he asks the people, he gives them this example by saying, well, how many of you people who will build a house, laid a foundation, didn't plan well enough to finish the house, and people would look at you and make fun of you? Or if a king goes out to war, he has to really plan both what he's going to do and the consequences of what he does. And so Jesus is trying to get these folks to think, what are the consequences of going and being part of what Jesus is doing. Not only what are the consequences, but what are the benefits? And I was thinking to myself, with the consequences that he's offering them to do is to completely commit themselves to a specific idea, to a specific mission, to a specific focus and passion that really requires your total commitment, your absolute, complete adherence to what you're doing. And it makes me think about how is it that we commit ourselves to things in our lives. You know, sometimes we commit ourselves half-heartedly. You know, I'll do it until it gets embarrassing, or I'll do it until it gets tiring. You know, I'll do it until somebody really challenges me, or I'll do it until I finally get frustrated with the responses I get, and then I'll quit. And you know, what he's suggesting today is that that's not quite the commitment that he's asking for. He's asking for the commitment that you have to make that the only priority, the only focus, and the only passion of your life. To serve Jesus means to give everything up, to be able to focus only on what Jesus is offering us and what Jesus stands for. And what Jesus, in a paradoxical way, is saying that once you give everything up, you inherit everything. You pick up everything. If you lose your mother, you lose your father, you gain the whole world, the whole created experience of who we are and what we mean, and what the Christian message is all about. Look, there are sacrifices and there are sacrifices, okay? There are sacrifices we make. When we have our children, we want them to go to good school. There are sacrifices we make when we sit down with our children and we're tired, but they need to do homework and we want to be able to help them understand what they're doing. It's a sacrifice to help a child go through a tantrum, perhaps. And you can help them be able to develop their personal character by helping them understand the feelings that they're going through and some of the reasons why they feel what they feel. In other words, it takes a certain sacrifice on your part to nurture, to bring along, to carry, and to support this child as they become the adult that you hope they become. So you have to put out time, you have to put out love, you have to put out effort, and you have to put out yourself. This is a sacrifice, but this is a sacrifice we enjoy, no? Every parent here, at least when the kid grows up, you enjoy it, right? He finally grew up. My God, he's a big person. But when you're going through it with the child, you know what you see. You know what you're aiming at. You know what you're trying to accomplish with this child. And so you put it in there, and it's worth it. It's a worthy kind of sacrifice. Now, keep that in mind as I compare with another kind of sacrifice. Another kind of sacrifice that we do, and this is true in our American economy, is that we work really hard for our money. Everyone here has worked really hard for their money. And I wonder sometimes if they've ever looked at what they do to make that money. Because for them, the money somehow becomes a very important thing because it pays the bills, it pays the food, it buys the clothing, and buys all the other things. But somewhere along the line, we put too much priority, I think, on money and too much priority on trying to get those things that we think we need. And so we'll do almost anything. You know, I get embarrassed when I'm driving around April, and I see these people that, the tax return folks, that they have this poor guy, or this poor, with a Liberty outfit, and with the little sign, and they're wiggling like this. They barely wiggle because they're like, why am I doing this, right? And they're standing there in the corner, and you drive by, and you feel like so bad, because you're saying to yourself, look what they're doing to get us a salary. Look how we've reduced ourselves to be able to make a deal, to make a salary. And then, when you look around at some of the things that people do, you say, if it wasn't for the money, I don't think you would ever do that. Ever do that. And so people make sacrifices to make money, to be able to pay their bills, to be able to do things. Now, what I'm trying to compare, what I'm trying to find in what Jesus is saying is that we have to make a similar sacrifice, but we have to commit ourselves to the vision of that sacrifice. We have to get why we're doing what we're doing and see that it's work that is required from us to achieve the goal that Jesus is wanting us to achieve. Which means that we have to do things sometimes for the better and the good of the all rather than for the single individual self. In other words, you have to be able to grasp the whole picture. We've got to be able to see the larger vision of what Jesus is offering us in his sacrifice, in his love of all people, of all nations, of all colors, of all economic levels, so that we see that he loves people regardless of what they have, regardless of what they possess, but who they are. And that takes a certain commitment to that vision, which means that even though I don't feel right, or even though I don't feel good about doing that, I will do it because I'm committed. I will do it because I'm committed to the vision that he offers me and that I want to be part of. How many marriages don't last because people are not truly committed? They're committed to themselves. When I do marriage counseling, I used to do it. Haven't had much lately, but when you do marriage counseling, the thing you want to point to is that when you marry the person, you are now a different identity. You are committed to the marriage. You are committed to what you're hoping to achieve in that marriage. Now, you're committed to yourself. You're not committed to, well, I'm going to be happy or not happy. You are committed to that relationship thriving, and the world then becomes in the context of we. The world and everything that you do becomes in the context of we together. We achieve these things together. We experience this life. We raise these children together. We buy this house together. It is about we. That is a larger vision than you. And when you talk to people, we ask, what's going on with the relationship? Well, I don't know. I'm just not that happy. I don't seem to have my happy, fulfilled. And you said, but your happiness is a little bit more. I mean, the marriage is a little bit more than just the happiness, isn't it? Well, I don't know. I just don't feel right. And then they want to try another marriage. I mean, that's really, I'm very simplistic, but that's what it boils down to, because people do not have the correct vision about what a marriage is. That a marriage is a commitment to the view and the flourishing of the relationship and all that comes out of the relationship for the rest of the life that you have with that individual. And it's a serious commitment. It is a full-time commitment. It's a sacrifice that is worth the vision that it offers you. But when Jesus speaks about committing ourselves to Him and following Him and bearing the cross, we have to look at the vision and not the inconveniences. We have to be prepared for the consequences. He says people will separate from you. They'll look at you as a phony. They'll think that you're ridiculous. They'll think you're like a hippie, navel-staring, chanting person. They're going to look at you as though you're off the rocker. But the thing is that you're committed because you know that the vision that Jesus is pointing to is greater than all of us. It's more important than what I want. It's more important than my particular needs. And you know what? When you get that, you get your needs met. You get the sense of groundedness. You get the sense of fulfillment. You get the sense of wonder and beauty that is offered to us. But if you do it because you want to do it, you'll never see it. And so Jesus also tells us, let go of everything, all possessions. Let go of all possessions. Because a lot of times, this reminds me of another part, perhaps in Luke's, where he says, the follower comes to Jesus and says, let me bury my dead first. And Jesus says, no, let them bury the dead. In other words, don't let anything get in the way. Don't let anything get in the way of your committing yourself to me. Because we get in the way of that commitment. We get away. We put our own expectations and our own limits in our ability to let go. But we have to let go of everything. You know why? Because then you can be remade. The beautiful reading of Jeremiah, I can remake you, the potter in your hand. God, this is Jeremiah. God told Jeremiah, go see the potter. And he went to see the potter, and the potter was making this pot with his hand, and it came out kind of crappy. And then Jeremiah says, oh, well, that's going to be thrown out. But no, the potter takes it back, and he starts to reshape it, and he makes this beautiful pot. And Jeremiah says, oh, my God, we can be remade just like that pot. It's never too late to be remade. It's never too late to be remade. And we've got to remember that no matter where we are in our life trajectory, we still have an opportunity to wake up to the reality that God is asking us to commit completely to Him so that we can be remade. Remade not in the image of the world, not in the image of success, not in the image of power, but in the image of beauty and the image of authenticity and truthfulness and care for other people. And you have to get that vision and commit yourself to that vision absolutely and totally. I was talking to someone on Tuesday night, and I said, well, sometimes if we really put the message out of Christianity to people, they won't want to come to church. This is the paradox that we face in church. And that is that if we speak the truth of what is expected and what is really called of from you as a Christian, people will leave. They don't want part of it. They would prefer a very nice environment, very safe environment, where you can come and play at life and pretend you're living seriously. But when the chips are down and you're called to do the reality and live the reality of the Christian faith, then they don't want any part of it. Because they haven't committed. You've got to commit first. Do you ever hear that Nike commercial? Just do it? Really, we're in the West, we always want explanations, And I really get a kick out of this because I tried it myself with my daughter when she was young. I figured, okay, I'm going to explain everything to my daughter. And so now when she's growing up, she says, Daddy, why do I have to do homework? And I said, oh, okay, honey. Well, you have to do homework because it helps you understand your work and you're getting more intelligence. But why do I have to do it every single day? Well, that's to get you in a system and you get disciplined. But why do I have to do it like for the whole year? And then I started to say to myself, man, this could be endless. She can go on and on with the why questions. But I said to myself, the best way to teach that kid is tell her, just do the homework. I'm going to help you, just do it. And somehow, something deep inside of you is going to connect with that doing and become the ray of your life. Just do it. Commit yourself completely to God and follow God's openness and God's freedom and God's love, and you'll get life, and you'll get the reason why he's offering this gospel to us. We still haven't gotten it right. How many prejudices are still running around? How many people are still looking at each other with queer eyes and looking at each other as though they're competitors in their life? We don't see each other as brothers and sisters. It's too hard to do that. But that's what is expected. If you have to put effort, would you put effort in your marriage? I hope you do. Why not put effort in this kind of calling that can change the world and will determine your own connection with God, your own flourishing with God? I don't know. I mean, it's something that we have to really, really see. Do you see the sacrifice that's worth it versus the sacrifice that's kind of scary? The sacrifices that are scary and that are worthless are not the ones that Jesus is asking you to do. He's asking you to see the worthiness of the sacrifice, and then no matter what happens, it's still going to be okay. Because you get the vision. You've got it. I see it. And so he's asking this, open your eyes. You have to let go of everything. I was thinking also, geez, I mean, Jesus must, at this point, must have been, you know, really kind of frustrated. This is Willie, okay? This is Willie's interpretation. That Jesus was saying, man, look at these guys. They're just hanging out because they think I'm going to give them some bread. Look at them. They're just hanging out because they want another miracle. They want something from me. You know, they don't get it at all that I'm doing all these things. It's because God is walking with them. God, the kingdom of heaven is here. But it's a matter of waking at work the way you treat each other. They don't get it. And I'm going to go and die in Jerusalem for them? Think about it. What must he have been thinking? He saw something that made him do it. He had a vision that would not deter his actions. He had a grasp on the reality of who he was and what he meant and what his relationship with God was all about. And nothing could throw him off. Do you have something like that in your life? Maybe perhaps in the youth of your life, you had a passion, you had a dream, you had something you wanted to accomplish. But you know what? Money got in the way, problems got in the way, health got in the way, whatever got in the way, and you said, no, I can't do it. And yet you long inside of you for it. You cringe and you crave this reality that you were supposed to follow and you haven't. But here's a chance to do it. Here's a chance to say yes to that very fundamental reality that God is calling you to be and to live. And so this is the challenge of the gospel today, that you can be remade. No matter what problems you have, no matter what shortcomings you had, no matter what errors you made in your life, no matter what pain and wounds you carry, no matter what brokenness you have inside of you, you can be remade. And that's why Jesus is offering. This is something that is revolutionary. It is life transforming, world transforming. To be able to grasp it and see it and know that you're on the mission with Jesus. Did you say amen? Amen. Don't start that now. I have my Baptist roots. I get into that. Amen. But really think about it. You know what? Why are you committed? What is it that you see as a Christian faith? What is it that you hope to achieve in your life? What is the meaning and the substance and the fabric of who of life offers us? Do you want to be able to achieve? Feeling good about yourself? Doing good deeds? Or doing what God is asking us to do and do it in a way that will transcend the specific need of ourselves for the better good. It's the better good, the whole complete vision that Jesus is asking us to see. And when we see that, we will get everything that we've said no to. We'll have friendship, we'll have family, we'll have love, we'll have truth, we'll have beauty, we'll have art, we'll have everything. But not that way. This way. This way. Amen.